We have one baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? But we have many fillings. There's one baptism that cleans you up through what we're talking about Wednesday night, through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which I believe that's the only way you can get the new birth. I don't believe you can get it any other way than through justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you have to go through that. You're not going to skip a step. If Brother Branham in the future home, like I read you Wednesday night, Brother Branham taught those three stages of grace, and guess what? Turn on the camera. No, Bob's supposed to turn on the camera. Bob is in Kentucky visiting Monica's sister. And I don't know if he's preaching for Larry Harrow, but they're going to church up there. So, but... internal memory access. I want to record. Record. Okay. Put it back down here. Okay. Have that. Okay. So what we're talking about Wednesday night was that the three processes of grace is justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you don't know those three stages by now, you're way behind, because that's really the foundation. And really, if you're born again, I want to make this strong. If you're born again, you know that you went through those three stages. If you don't know that you went through those three stages, you're in one of those three stages somewhere, if you're a Christian at all right? I think we all can relate to justification, because you ask God to forgive your sins. God does that all the time. He forgives millions of people their sins. He's just. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd be saved. Saved is not the same thing as filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why they get confused, where Brother Branham says the Holy Ghost and a new birth is two different things, or the getting saved and having the Holy Ghost is two different things. And it really is, because you can be saved and not be bride. Everybody understand that? You can be saved. God will be just to forgive you of your past sins, and if you pass away right then or any time during that justification process, you will be given eternal life. But you got to go stand at the white throne judgment and do as it says in Revelation 22. You're going to have to be judged by your works. And remember what the Bible says about our works. They're filthy rags. So if there's any account against you, you're going to have to give an account for it right then. All right, at the white throne judgment. You will not be a judge, you will be judged. Because the judgment, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your judgment goes on Jesus Christ. When you get the Holy Ghost, your judgment goes to Jesus Christ, and he's already stood your judgment, so you don't have to be judged anymore. He's already went to hell, took you down there with him, so you don't have to go to hell anymore. He's paid the price. That's why I said the new birth is one of the most ill-taught things. And Brother Brown said, I don't see that we're getting them to the new birth. In other words, we're just getting them to church. Because number one, if you got the new birth, you'll not turn the word down. You'll do what the word says. Okay? Above all costs, you'll do what the word says. Okay? Whether it hurts your family members, or whether it hurts you, or whether it hurts your wife or your children or whoever. Jesus said, forsake father, mother, sister, brother, and follow me. And that's the way we have to be. If you see all these people that are moving away from the message, the Holy Ghost can't move away from the message. Now look, you can be, and it's like Dad and I were talking the other day, you can be deceived, because Satan still works in your memories and conscious faith and imagination. So he's down there playing in that realm. And you can be deceived, but you won't stay in deception once a truth has been shown you. See, let's just take, for example, a preacher up in Tennessee or whatever, and he's preaching the word, and he's got it off a little bit, but that's all he knows. He hasn't heard, but his interpretation of what Brother Brown said was wrong. Let's just say on a seed doctrine or whatever, on two souls. And if he continues on that, he can have the Holy Ghost, but he's going to have to die. Okay? He can't take the body change with error. But now once that man has been exposed to the truth, and explain the truth, there's the difference. If he rejects the truth, he never had the Holy Ghost to start with. It's pretty simple. Because Brother Brown said, word rejectors go to hell. So that's just pretty plain. If you reject the word that's given to you, you reject that word, then you're a word rejector and an unbeliever and you go to hell. But you can have a false doctrine, but have the Holy Ghost. Now look, let me give you a prime example. F.F. Bosworth was Brother Branham's right-hand man. He was the old oak tree. He was a faith believer. He was a Trinitarian. He never really accepted the message that Brother Branham preached as far as the message of the hour for this day. But he had the Holy Ghost. See, that's why I can say that Billy Graham has the Holy Ghost. He has the Holy Ghost for his time and for his way. He was a prophet. I mean, he's spoken of in the Bible to go down to Sodom to blind the Sodomites, all right? But he didn't progress on because it's like Martin Luther. Same thing with Martin Luther. Martin Luther had the just shall live by faith. God quickened that just shall live by faith, and that's where he was born again, okay? But now in this born-again experience here, it's a little bit different than here, but it is the same Holy Ghost, okay? And it's like we were talking about using the example Wednesday night of one cup. Now, let's continue on with that cup, and you'll see what this is talking about. Brother Bram says, God picks the glass up, one glass, right? It's dirty, okay? Now, what's God going to do? He's going to use this for a purpose. That's why he picked it up, all right? So he's going to use it because he knows it's going to be a good glass. All right, he's the only one that knows it. You don't. He knows it's going to be a good glass. So he takes this glass, this dirty on outside and inside. He cleans it out on the inside. Good brother, I'm talking about the inside. All right, he cleans it out, washes it up a little bit, cleans it out really good on the inside. That's justification. He picks it up, but the cup's still dirty. He's going to put it in use. He picks it up, but the cup's still dirty. Right? That's justification. All right, sanctification. He goes in there and cleans out the inside of the cup, right? Cleans it out. It's not in service. It's set aside for service, right? But now still, you can have fingerprints and all kinds of stuff on the outside. But when he fills it with water of the Word, there's the Holy Ghost. Now, these are a culmination in this. But these start washing the outside of the cup. When you were talking to me on the phone, Daddy was telling me that. That's why I was carrying on two conversations Wednesday night. I was listening to you and listening to him. But it's true. The cup is then washed on the outside. Sure, that comes from the inside, but where does it manifest? Outside. On the outside. It manifests on the outside. So that's what this is. This is cleaning up the whole cup. Outside, bottom, rim, the whole thing. That's what the statue of a perfect man is. Then you have a perfect cup. Because remember, it got marred down here. Satan throwed it in the mud hole. Well, God's cleaning it out because he's going to start from the inside out. But the statue of a perfect man cleans the outside of the cup up. Cleans all the fingerprints and the smudge and the stuff and what it's been sitting in and all that. That's what this is, and that's what this comes to do. It comes to wash all this out. Because remember, Brother Bram says, right in here, you see I got in between all these works. Now, these are the works. Here these little waves come. So he's got waves. So what's this doing? It's up here the whole time doing the washing. Remember, the man poured the water in the top. You know, this wasn't on it. On Sister Shepherd's dream, the headstone wasn't on it. It was a flat top, like a box, he said. Man was pouring the water in the box. The stuff was coming out and running down the side. So that's what this Holy Ghost does. This one right here puts you in service in to make you a son and daughter of God. This puts you more in service for adoption. Okay? This is the spirit of adoption. This, you receive adoption, not crying, daddy, daddy, but hear ye him. Coming on up here, okay? So that's what this does. If this don't finish the work, Sure, you're born again. Sure, you're son and daughter of God. But like I was saying Wednesday night, you're a spirit babe. You really don't know your position. You really don't know your place. You don't know if you can, you know, God knows whether you can handle things or not, right? But he's got to let you know whether you can or not, okay? Because he knows all things and you don't. So we have to go through a journey, him knowing who's going to get here and who's not. But he put provisions in all these places. You can call them bus stops. You know, you can bus stop at faith or bus stop at virtue, and you can stop and get off. Or you can get back on, and he'll take you to knowledge, temperance, faith. You understand? So you have the choice still. Your free moral agency goes all the way till the day you draw your last breath. You're a free moral agent, right? And I love that. You know why? Because that's why God gave you a soul, so you could choose. That's what we were talking about Wednesday night. God gave you a soul, so you could choose. And that soul is faith or doubt. Not faith and doubt. What God's trying to do is he's trying to work on the inside man first. He knows if he can get the control tower clean, that it'll start working its way out to the outside. All right, look, right in here. You see I got in between these works here. These little waves come. What is it? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ. See, Holy Spirit. Christ coming down. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together. Remember, you got to have two things, which is you and God, to weld. You can't weld one item. You got to have two items to weld, all right? So it's you and God together as person working this thing out. But you know what he is? He's the gentleman. He's the one that stands over here, and you're the one that controls. You say, no, the Holy Ghost. Yeah, the Holy Ghost is control. But he's timid and a gentleman. That's what the prophet of God said. I love the way he explained that. He's a gentleman. In other words, he doesn't say, I'm going through that door. He says, no. If you want me to go in that door, I'll go in the door. If you don't, I'll stand out here and I'll give you all the blessings that I can give you in this room. But if you don't let me in that room, I'm not going to force my way in. Okay? And that, you know why? There goes back to your free choice. That goes back to your free moral agency to accept or to reject. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together, building a what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap it off. You can't have imperfection down through here and have this come on top of that. All right? Then we know that it's been manifested down through seven church ages, seven messengers. We read that last week. Let's skip on through. He talks about remembering the bride tree. That would be a good one for everybody to read or redo or listen to over again, would be restoration of the bride tree, how God restores. And the way God is expecting us, paragraph 340, as individual to grow. See, you can't depend on Brother Dale to make you grow. No, you can listen and be available for the word to help you grow. But you're going to have to do the growing yourself. That's why we have provisions in the word. Remember, Brother Dale talks about the promises. We got promises. God said, if you'll do this, I'll do this. If you'll do this, I'll do this. All right, you pay your tithes, I'll pour out the windows of heaven. You come to church, you'll receive a blessing. You don't come to church, you won't get a blessing. You don't pay your tithes, you won't get a blessing. You see, so it's just really, it's not rocket science. It's really not. If the most illiterate person, do you know an illiterate person can't put together numbers and can't even read? Somebody'd have to read it for them. That's an illiterate person. Brother Bram said an illiterate person could receive the Holy Ghost. That goes to the believing of the intelligence inside here. Okay? You got enough human intelligence, whether that man can read or not, he can speak and he can see and he can hear. And if he hears the word of God, God quickens that to his heart, being as simple even as he is. God will still give him the Holy Ghost. But you know what God will do? Then the Bible says, I'll lead you and guide you into all truth. So he'll take somebody illiterate and he'll either do like, you know, Brother Joe Forney was illiterate. You heard his testimony, Brother Jewel Forney. He said, I opened that Bible up when I was about 17 years old. He dropped out of school. And a real tough testimony, but, you know, God brought him through all that. Look at him now. But he said, God, he said, if you save me and you want me to read this thing, you're going to have to teach me how to read. And he said, God came down just like a teacher in his brain and taught him those words He never went nowhere to learn how to read. God taught that man how to read. He heard the words when it was being spoken, and when he was reading, when he was looking at the words, that word's "and." And the way God was teaching him, because you know he had to work for him. He had to be able to read the Bible. And I think he reads it very well now. So God, you know, God, but see, God saw the desire of his heart. When God changed his heart to a different direction, he said, "Well, I can use that man to get to some of these people that maybe I can't get to." All right? He can relate to them. So that's what God done. So if an illiterate person can receive the Holy Ghost, then it's not rocket scientist. And it is a mystery in the Bible. It is a mystery hid from the wise and prudent, but revealed unto babes, such as will learn. See, there's the free moral agency part, such as will learn. If you don't want to learn, God's not going to teach you. But if you want to learn, do what the Bible says. He's just to teach you these things. And then paragraph 341, these fellows wasn't required, what these fellows are. Talking about each one wasn't required. They were required for their age. Paragraph 342, when a man possesses these kind of things, then the Holy Ghost comes upon him. No matter, you might speak in tongues, you might impersonate any gift that God has got. You might do that, but until these virtues here go into you, you're still off the real true foundation of faith. But when these virtues go in and you add that to that, then you are a living monument. You're a living, moving idol. But he's talking about the heathen. They prostrate themselves to an imaginary god. They prostrate themselves before an idol, an imaginary god. And in imaginary way, they believe that that imaginary god speaks back to them. See all that imaginary? That's heathenism. That's Romanism. They bow before all kinds of saints and everything else. And they have Saint Cecilia, a house god, and so many different things like that. They bow to that and actually believe that in an imaginary way. What a type of it is of the true living God. But when we, not in an imaginary way, but prostrate ourselves before a living God, a living virtue, a living knowledge, a living patience, living godliness, living power, coming from a living God, makes a living man, a living image, in the stature of God. What's he doing? The same things that Jesus did. Walking the same way he walked, doing the same things he did, because it's not imaginary things. There's a reality that proves it, and that's your walk. See what I mean? How these virtues, these building materials, type in with the church messengers, with the church ages. Now, one of these days, I'm going to take Jesus' word and study them out, show that it proves it. I think he left that for us to do. That is the house of God. That is the house that God dwells in. Not a building with a big bell and a high steeple. But a body hast thou prepared me. A body that God can dwell in, walk in, see in, talk in, work in. Amen. Living instrumentality of God. God walking on 2 feet in you. Glory. The footsteps of the righteous is ordered of God. God walking in you, for your written epistles read of all men. And if the life that's in Christ be in you, you'll bear the life that Christ bore. Amen. I mean, we've come to this spot that I don't want to move away from it until we know that where we are in our walk. Because God, listen, if we're wondering about these things, God can't seal it in. He's got to take a solid piece and weld it to a solid piece. He is super steel. He is harder than anything. All right? So, now here you come up with some clay or some mud. Is that going to weld? No. Here you come up with some brass, maybe. No, not going to weld. You got to come up with that same super steel that he's got. The two welds have got to be the same kind of material. So what does he do? He puts that material in you at the new birth. Then you work on it. Working on a building. Right? Working on a building. Then when you get up to here, it's iron and iron, or steel and steel, or whatever you want to call it. It's not iron and clay. Iron and clay don't mix. But down here, We start out with clay. That's what we are. We're clay. But we're building a building so that God can work through. When you come to this place right here, you're not going to be popular, number one. You're not going to be some great person that the world is going to put you on a pedestal. No. They didn't put Jesus on one, did they? Okay? So we got to go back to the characteristics of Jesus. Now, Jesus was accused of being around sinners and prostitutes and, you know, people of a little shady character. But he was there to seek and save those that were lost. Okay? That doesn't mean for us to go down to the prostitute house or go to the gambling houses and try to win souls. No. No. But we do need to have enough character to, if somebody does have those problems, can come to you. And you can have enough of this bankrolled virtue, enough bankrolled in, you know, like Brother Bram said, you go out there to cash the check and insufficient funds. God says you don't have enough virtue. You can't give it to this person. But if you got enough virtue that you can give it out to the person, then, you know, I think Peter, it didn't pump him up when he said, silver and gold have I none. He wasn't bragging. He was honest. He said, man, I ain't got a dime to my name. I can't pay for your hospital bill. I can't even take you to the doctor. But I got something that you need. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, what did he have? He had virtue. He had the virtue of God, not the virtue of Peter. The virtue of Peter, before his conversion, would have said, look, dude, sorry. You know, Peter was just that way. He'd said, sorry, man, you just got bad luck, you know. But what come inside Peter was compassionate, just like the Lord Jesus with Bartimaeus and all the ones that he had healed. He stopped. And you know, Jesus was saying the same thing. Because Jesus didn't have a dime. He was telling the woman at the well, silver and gold have I none. He was telling Bartimaeus, silver and gold have I none. He was telling them that, I don't have anything but what I have. You know, even the woman that touched the hem of his garment. Virtue went out of him. What, he had the virtue in him for her to reach and get a hold of him and say, hey, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. I was telling them, coming down the road, you know, that's not the only time that happened in the Bible. She's the first one. But if you look in the book of Matthew, right toward the end of one of the chapters in Matthew, many touched the hem of his garment and were made whole. So she's not the only one. She was the first one recorded to touch the hem of his garment. So she must have went and testified, what I'm trying to say. She went and testified. She had a testimony service. She said, if you can just get to that man, you ain't got to talk to him. You just got to reach and get his clothes that he's wearing, and you'll be made whole. So you see how what it done, it took her, and it made her a witness. So same thing with you. If God heals you a certain way, be a witness. Say, hey, God, give me this prayer cloth, and he's healed me of this. Why don't you get one? Or I've got one I'll give you, or let's pray right here, or let's do this and that and the other. That's what God wants us to be. He don't want us to be some super spiritual, some way up where nobody can understand you, and he don't want you to be where you walk around and, you know, kick sinners off in the ditch. That's not what this is. You see what that says? Brotherly kindness, godliness, patience, temperance, all these things work in our life. If we'll let it work in our life. But it's not our knowledge. It's God's knowledge. Alright? So remember, it's not something you can produce. You just make yourself available by free moral agency. You just move yourself over. Get yourself out of the way. Move yourself over and say, God, you know, when a minister is preaching, he does not have to preach the statue of a perfect man for you to gain these virtues. Does everybody understand that? You don't have to preach on the statue of a perfect man to get the knowledge of God. Now, if Brother Dale's preaching on what he's talking about, perfection, now he's preaching on perfection, then you can gain godly knowledge. God will show you all these things, how to work, if you'll just let him, if you'll just listen. Not just sit there and let it be a commentary. But we all got to listen, not to refute or listen and just say, I don't understand. Say, look, God, one word. Just give me one word. A lot of times that's the way I get my sermon. One word. Preacher will be preaching, he'll say one word, and that word will just, and it's happened to you, one word will just, it's like a volume goes up a little bit higher. You'll hear that word over all that other that you've heard, you'll hear that one word. Predestination, and boy, when you do, something clicks and it takes off. But he may just be commenting on predestination. He may not be preaching a sermon on predestination, but what you're going to have to do is, you're going to have to take, and you got to have that in there. See how that, and knowledge is important, and it's right down here close to the bottom. Right here in your baby journey, you got to have the knowledge of God, not the knowledge of man. Sure, it comes to the knowledge of man, but it turns into the knowledge of God once you run it through that filter. But if you've never heard, what's he going to quicken? He's not going to quicken it. If you've not ever heard it, he can't quicken it. But if you once you hear it, then that key turns on, and that starts the process of God, I don't understand that. Then you need this. You need some knowledge. You need some Holy Ghost knowledge. You know what? You need to study a little bit. Bible says study to show yourself approved. You study. Not Brother Dale. We've turned this message into almost like Catholicism. Brother Dale, you do our praying. You save our children. Now, you live the life in front of them, Brother Dale, but now I don't have to. But you live life in front of them, and you pray for them. And sure, we depend on Brother Dale for things like that because he's our pastor. But go to work 6 days a week, and you ain't even opened your Bible. You hadn't even listened to a sermon, or you hadn't even read, you know, a book, or even just thought on something. Then you come in here Sunday morning, and you sit down, and you go, well, I didn't get a thing out of that. Well, you didn't. It's because you didn't have anything, you didn't put anything into it, all right? This knowledge is not going to come. Remember, these are overcoming. These are overcomings. If you're going to be a Christian, you know, if you're a doctor, you study a long time to be a doctor, right? Because you don't want to make mistakes. You want to know what you're doing. Well, same thing with the Word of God. I mean, I may not physically ever open a message book, like 1 week, not open a book, but I'll sit and read quotes, or I'll get a thought in my mind. See, that's my process, because I'm trying to give it to you. Your process is you're trying to learn more about God, because you don't know what Brother Dale's going to exactly preach on this morning, right? But you know the lineup, because he's in a line be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So it's a positive attitude, so you can kind of lean toward that, but still, you can read a book or listen to a tape, and something will quicken to you if you're in line with God. Now, if you're not, if you just sit and don't do anything, then how's God going to talk to you? And I know we live 80% of our life, we live in the flesh. We have to worry about bills and kids and family and cars and life and, you know, you name it. But you need to give that 20%, at least give 20% to God. He only asked for 10. Really? I mean, 10% of your time, figure that up for a week and see how long you... I mean, that's a few hours you'd have to sit down and study to get 10%.
That right.
Right. Right. Right. Sure. Sure does. See, to me, that's what happened in the first three church ages. Let me get this point in. We need to go because I don't want to hold them up, sing so many songs upstairs. When you start coming up through here, we need to lean toward God more than anything because we're babies. And God, you know, you got a question in your mind, you can write it down if you want to, and that's okay. But like you said, now what if you just ask me that question, and I just answer it? Well, if it's not the Holy Ghost working on both ends, if it's just me answering the question, you're still going to have that question. But if you got a question and God answers that question, see, remember, I do things amiss. You understand what I mean? I can have a plan and it changes tomorrow. Or I can have a thought in my mind and it changes in 2 minutes. But when God brings something, it don't ever change. So you know and have confidence that when he brings something to you like that, that he has brought you the truth and he's brought you the answer, not some answer. See, I can give you some answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can give you some answer to a question. But when God answers that and that plops down in your heart and you say, well, man, that's the only way it could be. See, that's the only answer that you could have for eternity. God can't change his mind about that answer. So if he doesn't answer amiss, so when God answers your question, that's why Brother Branham, man, when that angel told him, said, you get the people to believe you, nothing will stand in your way. Man, what kind of confidence would that be if an angel come and told you that? And said, nothing will stand in front of you, not even cancer. So what are you scared of? I mean, sure, our human inability is scary. But when God comes and gives you an answer, or God comes and gives you something, people, that's eternal. You got to bank on that. It doesn't matter what circumstance goes here or there. All that stuff that goes here is external. And it just flows out. And you know what it does? It just washes away. Let's go. We don't let it go. We make little pockets right here. And we stop it and say, oh, well, maybe not. No, we need to let it go. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. He is going to marry a wife, not a baby. You're exactly right, buddy.
Well, that's how you know you sure yourself approved. Right. The Holy Spirit answered the question.
Right.
Because you've been studying.
Right. Yep.
You want to talk before?
It'll be all right. We got to get upstairs.